Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. We are continuing today in our study on the subject of the snare of self. Self, as I will define it for you, is referring to the human nature without God. This also can be used interchangeably with the word flesh, as it's used in Romans and in Galatians, and by Jesus when he said, "It is the Spirit that gives life, but the flesh profits nothing." In Galatians 5, verse 24, we find these words, "And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have been called to crucify the flesh, or we could say die to self. Self has its own desires and its own passions and its own lusts that it wants to pursue. And yet the Spirit of God longs to have each and every believer allow the Holy Spirit to be in the center and to be in dominion in the individual life. We see a picture of this even in the Garden of Eden. We know from Genesis chapters 2 and 3 the story of how Adam and Eve were instructed by God that they could eat of every tree in the garden except for one tree, called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it was in the center of the garden. And also in the center of the garden was a tree called the tree of life. And Satan deceived or beguiled Eve, tempted her to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when she did that, just as the Lord had said, death entered in, so to speak. Spiritual death took place. And suddenly, Adam and Eve realized that they were naked. Before they had eaten from that tree, they had no sense or knowledge of their nakedness. They were just enjoying having been created by God, enjoyed His fellowship every day, walking in the cool of the day with the Lord, enjoyed each other's fellowship, and they had no knowledge of this. But as soon as they ate from that tree in the center of the garden, they knew that they were naked. They looked at themselves and they realized they were naked, and immediately they started to attempt to cover themselves up using the fig leaves. This is a spiritual picture for us. It's very significant that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the center of the garden. You could say it's much like self-centeredness is in the middle of every human problem. The Lord had given Adam and Eve a choice to obey God or not to obey God, because there in the center of that garden, from which they could eat every day, was the tree of life. And this is like the Spirit of God, because Jesus said it's the Spirit that gives life and the flesh profits nothing. So here Adam and Eve chose the flesh. They chose their own will. They chose their own way. They gratified themselves, or they self-centeredly took from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they scorned the tree of life that was offered to them every single day by the Lord. It is the same with our lives today. We have a choice as believers every single day to choose to walk in the Spirit, to choose life, or to choose and allow self or the flesh to become preeminent in our lives. These two things war against one another. We are told in Galatians chapter 5. In verse 17, it says, "The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another." And this is exactly what happens in a Christian's life every day. We have this war, so to speak, between the Spirit and the flesh, or between the Spirit of God residing in the born-again believer and the self, which is that human nature without God that wants to exalt itself, it wants to have its own way, it wants to be self-willed, it wants to be self-centered. It wants to pleasure itself and gratify itself. And yet we've called to die to self. We've been called by the Lord to be crucified with Christ and allow the Lord himself to live in us. As Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So our call every day is to live that crucified life, or to live dead to self, but alive to God. And we choose this daily, whether we realize it or not. If you allow self to dominate you, to rear its ugly head, to rule in your life, then you will prevent the Holy Spirit from working in and through you. As long as the self is ruling, the Spirit is not in the rulership position. And self is very sneaky, or we could say the flesh is very sneaky, and the ways of the flesh are subtle. And yet, we live in the middle of a culture that is very obsessed with self. And it promotes self, and it promotes gratifying the self, and it promotes protecting the self, and it promotes, in every way, feeding the self-life of the individual. There's even a magazine entitled, or the name of it is Self, and it is just a picture to me, or more evidence, of how the United States or American culture is pervaded with this pursuit of self. In days gone by, that was called hedonism, when people are encouraged to indulge themselves, pleasure themselves, without any restraint. And yet our sophisticated culture puts a thin veneer over this hedonistic pursuit and simply calls it loving yourself, taking good care of yourself. And yet the reality is the advertisements which encourage pampering yourself, indulging yourself, gratifying your every desire is nothing more than pagan hedonism with a glossy cover on it. And all of this gets down to the sin of self-centeredness. How does that affect or impact a Christian's life? Well, as I said earlier, the self sins are sneaky and the flesh is sneaky. And it often will put a cloak of humility on or a cloak of religiosity on to make itself look spiritual in some way. Have you ever volunteered for a position of service in your church? And the reason that you did it was to get in good with the pastor or to have other people think you're spiritual? Those are self sins that are subtle or that wear religious robes. Other self sins that many people don't recognize as being sin at all are such things as self-inspection and measuring yourself against religious standards. Those may sound like even noble pursuits, and yet the reality is, if you think about it, self-inspection is the first thing Adam and Eve did after they ate the apple or whatever fruit it was from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The first thing that happened was they looked at themselves and they realized they were naked. They fell into this trap of self-inspection. That is motivated again by these self sins, this self centeredness. Religion requires this type of self measurement or self inspection. Religion will write out the rules and then announce to you that you don't measure up. Jesus told the Pharisees that they put heavy burdens on the people and then they didn't lift a finger to help them. It was the same idea of announcing the rule list and saying you don't measure up, and putting people under a yoke that they cannot rise above, where they're always self-absorbed and self-measuring. Am I measuring up? Am I measuring up? And never being able to. When we do that, we're in a trap of religion, and it keeps us before the work of Christ instead of living in God's covenant of grace that he has given to us, because we know Jesus ushered in this new covenant of grace. It doesn't mean license to sin, but it relieves us of the wicked pressure that self-inspection and self-measurement, self-absorption required by religious traditions will keep us in. Remember, religion is death. Jesus never said, go and work on yourself and come back later when you've pulled yourself up by your bootstraps morally. Quite on the contrary, he would heal people and he would forgive people and then he would say to them, go and sin no more. The Message translation of Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 5, is quite fascinating along these lines. It says, those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle but never getting around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust in God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. But focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he's doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. You know, God hasn't called us to be obsessed with ourselves or obsessed with our own ability to keep his law. We are to be focused on God and not focused on self. We don't want to be self-absorbed. We want to be God-absorbed. These subtle self-sins can sneak in even to the most dedicated Christian's life. Don't let it happen to you. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. Have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.